The Lord has given us another day. Come to His house and worship Him. I hope we've come for no other purpose but to worship Him, study about Him. He is the end of all things in righteousness. And we are down here to study about Him. Man. We will be looking at Acts chapter 5 this morning, Lord willing. Glad you're here. Report that we had a good trip to Mississippi. I'm still reminded of what Brother Brunson told us about David trying on Samuel's armor and made mention that David was not there to get glory, but he was a sheep killer. He killed sheep killers. And when you think about that, you know, he did kill a bear. And why did he kill the bear? Bear was trying to steal the sheep.
Right.
And why did he kill the lion? The lion was trying to steal the sheep. So David was still killing sheep killers because Israel is God's sheep. And I never had thought of it like that. Anyway, that's a good thought, and I think that helped us out. All right, Acts chapter 5. Last week we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. And I've given that a little bit more thought this week, and it's pretty apparent to me that they were disobedient church members. And I thought, said, well, they lied to the Holy Ghost. That's right. But if God killed all liars in the world, everybody would get killed. But God does not necessarily. Now, you know, I can't stand up here and tell you what's in the mind of God. Because we've been told in the Word, who hath known the mind of the Lord or been His counselor at any time. And so I'm not, but I'm just relating, you know, that when we get to divine nature and we do things that's really outside of God's, what He has forbidden us to do, sometimes He takes people out of the world. I think I mentioned last week that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, was it 15 or 13? Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper. And he said, many of you sleep because they were turning the Lord's Supper into a fleshly banquet. And that is not the spirit of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is very somber,
amen,
humbling, because the Lord said, do this in remembrance of my broken body and my shed blood for you. And that's the most sacred thing that ever happened on the earth was Jesus Christ going to Calvary. Many people did not understand it then. Many people do not understand it now. But as we look at Isaiah 53, he says that he made him sin for us. By His stripes we're healed. Now, of course, we believe that that's universal. We believe that Jesus died for Abraham. Now, you know, and the old preachers that I was raised under would say Abraham was saved on the credit. And you could modify that a little bit. Abraham wasn't saved at all at that time. He was justified. And so but the Lord paid Abraham's price just like He paid ours. And Abraham knew that. I mean, you know, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. What was that about? See? So he was saying that the Lord died for all the redeemed, because it takes a great high priest and it takes a perfect sacrifice to please God. All right. We got down to verse 12, and I want to pick up there this morning and see what the Lord will have for us today. I hope this will be a blessing to you. Now we are talking about, and I've said several times, the book of Acts is a transition book. It is taking things to a different direction in the will of God. In the will of God. So we are finding what's happening is God is bringing people together, and I know most of them are meeting there to in the Jewish religion. When they come there, they're coming there in the Jewish religion. But since God has poured out the Holy Ghost on the apostles, He has given them power to call sinners to repentance. See? John chapter 1, and I'm paraphrasing this, He said, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, them that believe on Him. So, God is still involved in a person getting saved. And as I taught the other night, there is a Bible election. Now, don't fall off the stump with me there. I'm not a hard shell. But God elects. He elected Israel. He elected men. I mean, Jeremiah. What did He tell Jeremiah? I've called thee from the womb. And so God elects. And there is a New Testament elect. You might want to read about that in 1 Peter. I think it's chapter 1 and 2. God hath called us. How? By the sanctification of the Spirit. And so the conclusion on election in New Testament is you get into Christ and you're elected. You see what I mean? God elected men and women in Christ in our dispensation. Now, it is an election. But it's to whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Right. Those scriptures do not collide.
Right.
They fit. See? By the sanctification of the Spirit. See, you are called. Now, some people said, well, is everybody called? Generally. I mean, doesn't it say in chapter 1 of John again that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world? What does that mean? That means He gives everybody, can I say it this way? Every normal person that's reached the age of understanding the ability to seek Him. See, our commandment is seek the Lord. Isaiah said that. Jesus said that. We are to seek the Lord. Most people don't. Okay? See, I can't help that. But those that do seek the Lord and find Him, as one the writer said, for He's not very far from every one of you. I believe Paul said that at Mars Hill, did he not? Okay. So, was Paul saying, now some of y'all can't get it? He wasn't saying that. He said, seek the Lord, if haply you might feel after Him and find Him, for He's not far from every one of you.
Right.
So I don't know why I'm on that tangent this morning a little bit, but I wanted to go there to tell you we are now in the book of Acts in a transition. People are getting up in crowds and they are having congregational worship. Can I submit to you that they did not do that under the law? They gathered together and had feast, and they gathered together and praised the Lord, but it was not like we do it today, because God has called ignorant men at that time, fishermen, to be men that would carry the gospel.
Right.
See, I mean, everybody there, all the people that in the past four chapters or three chapters of Acts is amazed at what's going on.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's the first time that's ever happened this way. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? Okay, I'm down to verse 12 now. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch seemed to be a place where they gathered up at the temple. You'll find that mentioned in chapter 3, verse 11. Right. Solomon's porch. See? And you say, well, why is it Solomon's? Because Solomon built it. He added that onto that. And I'm not saying that Herod didn't enhance it. But it was Solomon's is the one that first built it. So there they came, as I've already said, to do their religious exercises. Hear the law read. What most people came for. But when they got there and they saw such things as the Holy Ghost felt the Holy Ghost on the apostles and on the believers, and they saw such things as the lame man rising up and walking, and you know, when I saw that young man down there, I think it was Tuesday night and Wednesday night, that was laid back in that roller, you remember him? I thought about the lame man sitting at the beautiful gate. You know, man, that's the condition that man was in. Well, what I'm saying this morning is when the people saw this, they were saying things like, we've never seen it like this. And so they're meeting here at Solomon's porch, and the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. All right, now, what I said a few minutes ago about election. Who was added to the Lord? Believers. Believers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul told the Philippian jailer. You see? So what we're getting here is we are getting away from law worship into spirit worship. See, I say this pretty often, some people don't understand, and I'm not speaking down to them, but we are in the spiritual age. No man today comes to the Lord without the Holy Spirit calling them. Now, the Holy Spirit does that, you know, I've heard preachers say, well, you do it this way, and you do it this way, and you do it this way. Well, I find through the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit done it His way. All right. He saved a jailer. He saved a man in the desert in a chariot. He saved whosoever would call upon Him. See? And so, this is not what they used to do. It's not what they used to do, but they're doing it now. And we are in the spiritual age. And I think, you don't have to agree with this, I think that's one reason we don't see angels. See, angels was a carrier of God's word until the Lord, well, in fact, through the book of Acts. And then we cease to see angels until we get back to Revelation. Well, angels was the carriers of the message of God in some places in the Old Testament. Now, the Holy Spirit is the carrier of God's message. And this. See, that's why I am really fervent on the Word and the Spirit agree. Now, really, folks, if you'll pay attention to that, it'll help you not fall after false prophets. Right. I mean, they will put on a show to your flesh that'll look really good. Oh, God is really doing things for them. Okay, the next question you need to ask, is it scriptural? If it's not scriptural, it's not holy spiritual. Hope you believe that. Because the Spirit and the Word agree. And I'm not trying to get too tight on people. I'm just saying God gave us the Word. See, His Word. In fact, God was so emphatic by the Word, He said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See what I mean? And it was. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. All right? So God got the word to us. Now, of course, the devil is trying all kind of means to get you to look to other versions and even things, good news for modern man and stuff like that. But I don't know about you, but I don't have time to read stuff like that. If I study the Word, I study this KJV 1611 model.
Man.
And I think that's sufficient. And I'm seeing that the things that the Acts are doing, the book of Acts portrays the Acts of the Apostles. And I see God blessing that. And that's the kind of blessing I want. I don't want what Benny Hinn gives. I want what God gives. All right. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Every one. Now, since I made the statements I've already made this morning, some people's going to come by and say, well, now, Mr. Pollard, you have gotten yourself in a corner because you say the book of Acts is a transition book and this is the way they're worshiping God and it's true in God, so why don't you guys heal people? Well, I taught a lesson on signs, healing, and miracles. And it fits. Those things have passed away as far as men of God putting their hands on people, and they immediately jump up and shout. Now, I do believe in divine healing,
right. But
I don't believe in divine healers.
Amen.
Not today. Okay? And you say, well, somebody might say, well, you just got through bragging that you fit the Word of God, and don't that say that? It does say that. But this is not all it says.
Right.
See, I mean, a fool can take the Bible and prove anything.
Yes, sir.
My old preacher used to preach on that, and he'd say, the Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. Another place in the Bible, it said, go thou and do likewise.
Right.
And he said, now do you think that fits? No, it doesn't fit. So you see what I'm saying here? All right, so we've got to take the Bible in context. With itself, not in context with brother so-and-so. All right? Okay. So they were healing every one of them. See, and one man told me, he said, this healing that we have today, this TV healing, said they're even they don't even claim to be 100%. Well, let me ask you something. Were the apostles 100% here? You see what I mean? So God, although he allows the devil to do some things that appear to be a spiritual advancement, if you will watch, you'll always see something that's not quite right with that bunch.
Amen.
All right? Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. All right, now what do we got here? The Jewish rabbis, they were jealous of the apostles religiously. And let me say something. If we get real spiritual and we go to gaining people, you're going to find that the false religion is still jealous of your work for the Lord. I mean, they might say, oh, we're going up the same hill, but they don't like it if we start doing things for God. It's against them, and they have something in them that causes them to push back. So these religious people were saying, we don't like this. And in fact, they're going to tell why they don't like it here in just a minute. All right, the angel said, go, stand and speak in the temple, the people, all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together. Now this council here is the council of the Jewish religious temple. This is the temple council. See? All right? And all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Then were the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest. I'm sorry. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told him, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Now we got a confrontation here, don't we? We got a confrontation. They really wanted to do them harm, but the apostles had found so much favor with the people through their healing and preaching,
right,
that these guys were in fear lest they should be stoned. All right? And so I think that's, I once again present to you the reason that God let them have healing as a ministry. See? As a ministry. And I want to say again, I think this would be a good time to say it. Healing itself was never associated with salvation. Healing was a gift that was given the apostles that God could have things happen that would call people's attention to the gospel. The real word of God was what Peter and John and James were speaking.
Right.
See, that healing, let me put it this way. Just that physical healing didn't save anybody spiritually. Didn't save anybody spiritually. No, he didn't.
Go preach.
You see what I mean? Now, I'm not belittling the book of Acts healing because God was in it. But when we go to Corinthians, Paul is telling the church it's going to cease. See? Where there be tongues, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Don't mean we're going to go nuts. It means God's not going to send us any more new word until we get into the book of Revelation, when God is going to start bringing the earth into judgment. Okay? And these people, and you know, I'm hitting this a little bit this morning, but I get kind of queasy when I find people, you know, that make statements that's not in the Bible.
Right.
You know, oh, well, we do this and we do that. Well, that's fine. I'm not here to tell them how to run their business. But don't drag me along if it's not scriptural.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. See? Because I am going in, not as a rebel, but I have fixed my mind on learning the Word of God and what He permits and what He tells us to do. See, if you watch these guys on TV, and I hope you don't, but once in a while, you know, you turn through them and they're doing all kind of queasy things, and of course they want you to send them money so they can buy a jet airplane.
Right.
And where's that found? Isaiah 88 and 2. You see what I mean? And you got to watch that stuff because you'll get, you know. What did the Bible say? They are to deceive unstable souls. I don't know where that's found, but that's mentioned in the Bible. See? And so Peter said, beware of false prophets. There were false prophets among the people then, and there shall be false prophets among you, which shall what? Bring in good doctrine. No! Damnable doctrine. You see what I mean?
Right.
And so I just want to kind of sow that among you as we go through this. I rejoice that these apostles were healing people physically. But I rejoice more that they were saving, giving them a message whereby they could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now there's one thing in getting your flesh healed, which we lack that. We'll all go to the doctor, and I'm for that. But it's another thing to get a man's soul healed.
Right.
Eternally. You see what I mean?
Man.
I mean, I asked a question one time at Phil's Sunday meeting. They asked me to speak, and I said, how much would you give for eternal life in your treasure? You know, I mean, we'll go to the doctor, and they'll get a bill, $14,000. And I've gotten a bill greater than that. And I'm not against it. But eternal life is so much more, and y'all know that. But I'm just trying to put that in the lesson this morning. See, I want it to be. Now, in the book of Acts, with God putting His approval on it, healing went along with preaching of the gospel. But the healing was to draw their attention to the new way the doctrine was being presented. Because the Jews, as I say so often, had 1,500 years of law preaching. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that, thou shalt not do that. And you know, the feast that the law demanded that people come to. Well, we're changing. I mean, where do you find in the New Testament that the church is commanded to have a feast? I'm talking bread and water feast.
Right.
You can. I don't think it's prohibited. But see, we don't do that anymore. And so, we feast at the Lord's table. Again, when we get close to God, we can feast spiritually. You see what I mean? All right. Okay. Where did I get to? 22. All right. Let's look again at... When the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them wherewith this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. That's where I was. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you, you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And he's right. They did intend to bring this man's blood upon them. You know why? Because they were guilty. They were guilty.
Yes.
Now, notice, the people in this teaching and in this area of the book of Acts, if they were guilty, they pleaded guilty. And them that said, we ain't guilty, they didn't get it. So they are understanding, you see. And really, what they're saying here, this scripture that they talked about here, condemned them. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Hey, did not y'all say, let this man's blood be upon our hands and upon our children?
That's right.
Don't stand up here now and tell me you didn't do it. That's what the apostles are preaching. And of course, these people have become hypocrites, saying, oh, we didn't do it. We didn't bring his innocent blood. Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, that's what I've been trying to say this morning. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And I like it that the apostles did not let up on the message. They said, I know you're down here thinking you're not guilty, but you did do it. Now, folks, get the setting. These people, this Jewish hierarchy had killed people. And when we get to the seventh chapter of this book, you're going to find out they're still killing people. So Peter, James, and John and the apostles are telling them this in the face of a threat. See what I mean? I'm hoping you and I have enough faith that should that ever happen to us, we can still do it. Now, I'm not up here teaching you to be, you know, to try to I'm my own man, let me tell you about Jesus, but humbly in his spirit, tell them they're guilty. Yep. Man.
It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment.
That's right.
And that's what people want to try to deny.
That's right. They do not believe it. See? And that's true. You know, most people that I've talked to, they can kind of take death.
Yeah.
But it's that judgment. And I experienced that in myself. When I was lost, I could kind of talk about death, but wait a minute. That judgment's coming. And boy, when that preacher preached Revelation 6, that sixth seal, the Holy Spirit slew my heart. I know to other people that's just a scripture, but to me, I still tremble and read it. Not that I'm going there, but I tremble for other people. Because, man, I mean, that gives the final solution of what's going to happen. Men are going to cry. All men, rich men, poor men, bond men, run to the rocks and mountains and cry for them to fall on me and hide me from the face of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Praise God for that scripture. But and that is the ending.
Thank you, Albert. Albert's like Abner. He died as a fool.
Yes, sir.
Right. And unfortunately, there's no hope. And he's in hell today.
That's right.
And he'd give anything he could to go back and redo it right now.
Right.
That's right.
He died as a fool.
That's right. All right. Let me read 30 again. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You see what I mean? And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. See? We're witnesses. Okay, what did this say? We're witnesses, but also the Holy Ghost is witness. See? And I think that's a missing note in preaching today. You see what I mean? What did I say a while ago? God elects people. But according to Peter and a verse in Ephesians and a verse in Thessalonians? get into Christ, you're elected. See? God elects people for eternal life that will get into His Son spiritually. That's what John 3:16 says, isn't it? I believe it is. Okay. We are witness of these things, so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey Him. See? Now, the Sadducees did not know anything about the Holy Ghost. They were in religion. That's what we see in America today. They're in religion. That's why they think Benny Hinn can heal. That's why they let Benny Hinn get away with he needs a jet aircraft. What would you thought if Peter would have said, I need a three-horse chariot. A golden chariot. See, now I'm being foolish, but I'm just trying to get you to see. This stuff is fleshly. It's sensual. God don't mind you having an automobile. Automobiles, you can use them for the Lord. But I got news for you. Automobiles can be used for the devil too. See, and you can just go down the line naming items. Most everything that we have, that's the way it is. Now, there are some things the Bible prohibit us from having, and I'm okay with that. All right? And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. That is the point of the gospel. Right. Now, can I submit to you, and I'm not a smart person, but I like to see a sinner cut to the heart. Yes. When he's cut to the heart, let me repeat myself, no preacher in the book of Acts tried to get anybody saved. They tried to get everybody lost. See? So when they were cut to the heart, that means they were put under intense Holy Ghost conviction. I believe they could have gotten saved right here. If they said, oh, you're right, and fell on their knees and say, we take Jesus Christ. But they didn't. They did not seek the Lord when He was presented to them. And so, my lesson today has been kind of scattering. I hope you'll forgive me for it, but I'm out of time, and hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. I want to present this as a transition, but I don't want to go overboard with certain aspects of it so that we don't get it the way God has laid it out for us. So I'm thankful that you're here today. Yep.
When I was so sad, boy, that's when the Spirit was cutting me to the heart. I was so sad.
Man.
All right. Anybody else got a comment? All right. How many Bibles did we have today?